We are going to lead by setting an example for other nations about how we observe civil rights and human rights. We're going to close Guantanamo and restore habeas corpus.
That's Barack Obama on the campaign trail, and here he is right after taking office.
Guantanamo will be closed no later than 1 year from now.
But not so fast. Congress may not make it so easy for him. Democrats in the Senate said yesterday they would strip $80 million to close the prison from a war funding bill, leaving Obama with no money to move forward. The Senate retreats follows a similar move by the House last week. In the past few weeks, both parties have demanded a more detailed roadmap for what to do with the approximately 240 prisoners held at Guantanamo and assurance that detainees would not end up in anyone's own district. Here in the studio with us is Vijay Padmanabhan, professor at Cardozo School of Law in New York and formerly an attorney advisor in the State Department with a responsibility for detainee issues. Good morning. Thanks for coming in studio.
Great to be here.
So what is this about? Why are Democrats in Congress doing this? Haven't they been some of Guantanamo's biggest critics?
Well, there's a lot of irony here because during the time that I spent working in the Bush administration, we would hear regularly from Democratic critics that you need to close Guantanamo immediately. And one of the things we would always respond is, well, okay, we want to close Guantanamo, but what do you do with the people who are detained there? And I think as members of Congress realize that closing Guantanamo means bringing some people into the United States for resettlement, they've gotten really nervous.
In fact, here's Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid during a press conference yesterday.
Guantanamo makes us less safe. However, this is neither the time nor the bill to deal with this. Democrats under no circumstances will move forward out without a comprehensive, responsible plan from the president.
So what about that plan? Why is it that Obama and his advisors have not given Congress the assurances that it needs in order to move forward with this, which is something he really made a priority of during his campaign?
Well, I think two reasons. One is it's extremely difficult to come up with a plan to close Guantanamo because there is always going to be a risk that once you bring some detainees into the United States, they're ultimately going to be released into the streets. I mean, any honest plan is going to have to involve telling the American people that there is going to be a chance that certain detainees end up on the streets. And I think there's a difficulty in doing that.
And this is because of the techniques that were used, that they couldn't pass muster. Why is it that they could end up released?
There's two reasons. First is, if you criminally prosecute someone and they're then acquitted, what you would normally do, because they're not going to be U.S. citizens, is you're going to try to deport them. But if they come from a country where there's a torture risk where they live, we can't deport them back. And under existing Supreme Court precedent, you can only detain somebody for 6 months that you cannot deport home. So I think that's one set of risks. The other set of risks are people that we already want to release, that similarly we can't send home because of treatment concerns.
So the president said when he took office and he had one of his first executive orders was on closing Guantanamo that he wanted to do it in a year by January 22nd, 2010. What does yesterday's action mean for that timeline?
I don't think it necessarily affects the timeline, but what it means is that Congress is looking for the president to lay out a comprehensive plan to close Guantanamo. And I think this is very important because not only is Congress resisting to this point taking people from Guantanamo, but so are our allies. And they, too, are looking to see exactly what the president wants to do. And I think what he's going to need to do is he's going to need to lay out a system where the U.S. and our allies share the burden and the risk of accepting detainees. And he tells Congress, if you take 15 or 20 detainees, then maybe the French will take 15 or 20, maybe the British will take 15 or 20, and that's how you close it.
Vijay, this seems to me, and again, I'm speaking not as any kind of legal expert or anything, just as a simple human being, this feels so barbaric to me. I mean, these have to be the least powerful people on planet Earth, and people are casting them as terrorists. Don't they mean to say that we wouldn't be releasing terrorists, we would be releasing people who have spent, you know, the last 8 years or so in a situation of some abuse, and however they feel about the United States, it can't be terribly positive. So that's the threat. It has nothing to do with terrorism.
Well, let me give you an example of a particular person that we might be talking about. There's a gentleman named Mohammed Al-Qahtani. The U.S. government believes he was the 20th hijacker on the planes. But Susan Crawford, the convening authority to military commissions, has said this man was brutally tortured by the Defense Department and can't be prosecuted. So what do you do with this particular person? I mean, this is somebody who, on the one hand, has already indicated a willingness to hurt Americans. He came, Mohammed Atta was going to pick him up at the Orlando airport, And on the other hand, it's very difficult to prosecute him because the U.S. government has been torturing him for years. And so that problem is one that we need to face. I mean, he's
although,
a dangerous man.
It wasn't the assumption that a lot of the hijackers didn't know that they were suicide bombers? They were just on the plane as a part of the thing?
But, I mean, if they were trying to court of law their knowledge of what they were doing, I mean, if they were trying to regular U.S. court and they didn't know that they were hijacking until that morning, isn't there still some liability?
Yeah, they're involved in a conspiracy, and the way conspiracy law works is that you're responsible for the unintended consequences of your actions. So, yes, they could be held responsible. The problem is, what is the evidence that you have against this person?
Yeah.
A lot of it's been obtained through enhanced interrogation techniques that are now being called torture. Well, then it's difficult to use
but
that in a court.
I don't object. I certainly don't think these people are innocent per se, but the idea that they're somehow molten nuclear humans that can't be in civil society, that just seems to me over the top.
I mean, one question that I think Democrats and Republicans are going to have to answer is, why are these detainees so much more dangerous than ordinary criminals in terms of being detained in prison?
Is that one of the ironies here? I mean, frequently people fight for prisons in their districts because there's an economic development aspect to it. And certainly there are all kinds of dangerous people who have committed crimes in America that reside in prisons in these districts. So is there some kind of something else going on here?
Well, I mean, Hillman Montana, for example, came forward and said specifically they want to bring Guantanamo detainees and have the U.S. government build a facility in Montana to create jobs. I think, you know, terrorism is a unique threat, partly because it is committed by people who are not from the community. And so there's, I think, a reluctance to want to accept people who are not Americans coming into their community who may have, as you know, have concerns against the U.S. based on their treatment at Guantanamo and may do bad things in the community.
Last week, the White House announced without much explanation that it was going to reinstitute some of these military tribunals. Was that part of this discussion, or was there another reason for that?
It was very much a part of this discussion. I think one of the major ways that the Obama administration is going to want to solve the Guantanamo problem is to prosecute as many detainees as possible. And I think they're realizing that the federal courts are not going to be a venue where they're going to be able to prosecute as many people as they need to. So they want to preserve military commissions as a route to get jail time for a larger percentage of Guantanamo detainees.
So what does that do to Obama's argument that he has made pretty consistently that Guantanamo is an international blot on America's reputation?
He called them a failure. He called the tribunals a failure.
He has called the tribunals a failure, but one thing, important thing to remember now is, regardless of the president, we now know that detainees have constitutional rights. And we also know that they're going to not be prosecuted at Guantanamo, but in the United States, presumably. And so one of the consequences of that is that it's not going to be the same Bush administration military commissions we've already seen, but there are going to be more procedural protections for the defendants.
BJ, what's the end game here? I mean, do you think it's going to be justice in the end, that there's some sort of adjudication that will truth tell here, or is this going to be some manipulated process that in the end is a form of quarantine?
Well, I think ultimately these detainees, as I said, have constitutional rights. And so I think ultimately the courts are going to be the final vindicators of rights for these people. But I think there's a good chance that we're going to end up in a system where hopefully only those who are the core, most dangerous people that were picked up and are held at Guantanamo are continued to be detained.
Obama's going to be speaking tomorrow, the former constitutional law professor. He's expected to outline his plans for the suspects that are still in Guantanamo. What can he say to get his plan back on the rails?
I think the most important thing that he needs to say is he needs to reassure our allies in Congress that people that are going to be released from Guantanamo are people the U.S. really believes can be reintegrated into the community. So I think that's the first thing. And I think the second thing is I think people want to hear that he has a plan that is linked to the rule of law, meaning he's going to continue his commitment to having courts serve the primary vetting function, deciding who needs to be detained and who's not.
Is this congressional balking because Democrats are really hearing from their constituents about this? And what does that say about the American psyche, if that's the case?
Well, you know, the Bush administration certainly spent 8 years saying that these people were the worst of the worst, to pardon, to use Don Rumsfeld's term. So I think people are nervous about it. But I also think the Democrats are right to expect the administration to give a plan for closing Guantanamo. Why should, if I'm a congressman from Virginia, should I agree to let 30 detainees into Virginia unless I know it's part of a plan to actually close the facility? I don't want to bear the burden without knowing what part of the burden I'm bearing.
So in a word, is this a roadblock or is it have they hit the wall?
I think it's a roadblock for now, but I think Thursday is really where the rubber hits the road.
Thanks very much, Vijay Padmanabhan, president of Cardozo Law School and formerly an attorney advisor in the State Department with responsibility for detainee issues. Thanks for coming in.
Well, that was fascinating. You know, our conversation this morning involves the new credit card bill making its way through the Congress today. If you have a story on what that bill should deal with based on your own bill, bill us, won't you, at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.